Welcome to Broken Fuse Podcast. This is episode 60 on September 16th, 2017. It's a very long overdue podcast. Should have been doing one for E3, but it's a little late for that. And we're gonna roll it into a September podcast with the Apple and most recent Nintendo Direct announcements earlier this week. I have a guest and on the show today, Refractia.
Hi, I'm Refractia. Yeah.
What have you been playing recently?
For me, I've been playing, getting into, Divinity Original Sin 2, and just some CSGO. I haven't been playing much, lately.
Nice. I recently picked up the new Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS. Mm. And it's a pretty fun side-scrolling game so far. Brings it back to the old-school side-scrolling games you would find on like the Game Boy or the SNES. Mm. And it brings it up to modern graphics. And I've been playing a bit of Breath of the Wild as well.
That's very neat.
And of course, I just went to the Zelda Symphony in Toronto yesterday. And there's brand new tracks for Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild. Just pretty neat.
Hmm.
So we're going to jump right into some of the news that I've been slacking on. New iPhone, the iPhone X and the 8 and the 8 Plus. It's bigger screen inside a smaller body, which is the trend. November 3rd release date. It's hella expensive at nearly $1,600. There's no home key, which is surprising. It's replaced by a 3D face scanner. Pretty high resolution at 458 dpi. Wireless charging, same unit that Samsung's using. 12 megapixel camera, 7 megapixel selfie camera. It's gonna be the iPhone 8's gonna be running on a 811 Bionic chip, just specced up to be 30% faster than the 810, the previous chip. Available September 22nd with a price tag of $1,080 for the 8 and $1,330 for 8 Plus. Apple Watch Series 3, which interestingly enough has a cellular version that can take calls and use Apple Maps, Siri, and stream music from Apple's music service. What do you think about the cell version of the watch?
I think it's pretty interesting. I'm not very familiar with Apple Watches, but the Apple Maps integration and streaming Apple Music seems really interesting.
Talking about streaming, they're bumping up their newest Apple TV to 4K, and it's going to be launching in a week on September 22nd. And we're going to jump into the E3 stuff, which is the bulk of it. Skyrim on the Switch. Can use Joy-Con motion controls. There's going to be a Link, like Zelda items in it, like an outfit and this shield. Wolfenstein 2 on October 27th. Fallout 4 VR and Doom VR is slated for later this year. November 14th, another version of L.A. Noire for the, I think, Switch. Super Mario Odyssey is coming out. Let's see. That should be... Actually, those couple of things should be bumped down to Switch later on, though. EA FIFA 18, Star Wars Battlefront 2. Multiplayer trailer actually came out around then. Just pretty sweet. Madden 18 gets a story mode, which... Need for Speed, with more Fast and Furious gameplay, I guess. Anthem, it's another game from EA, which is from the Mass Effect team, with a bit of a James Cameron's Avatar influence to try to tame the wild with suits of mech armor, which is an interesting concept. Beyond Good and Evil 2, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is, looks alright. Skull and Bones, which is kind of a game with an Assassin's Creed Black Flag, minus the lore, and includes a PvP. And there's an Atari box coming out later, and Logitech has a pretty interesting gaming mouse, the G703 and the G903, that features a wireless charge mat, which could be quite convenient if you like your wireless gaming mouses. And Alienware is coming out with a gaming PC with a AMD CPU with 16 cores. And, yeah. Have any thoughts on those?
Let's see. The G703 and the G903 with wireless charge mats, that seems very interesting. Because if you integrate, you know, the mouse mat with the charging mat, and it's wireless, you know, that's pretty intuitive. Now, the Alienware PC with 16 cores, that's pretty powerful. I'm actually trying to go through for a Threadripper, build, the 1950X one, and yeah.
All right. Anything else on those topics before we move on?
Nope.
We're going to move on to Microsoft. They announced the Xbox One X for November 7th launch. $500 US, $450 in the UK. 6 teraflop 1.172 gigahertz processor, 12 gigs of DDR5 RAM. The bandwidth for the memory storage is 326 gigs per second, which is damn fast. Max output of 4K HDR image, Dolby Atmos audio. Can play 4K Blu-rays on them. They're gonna have backwards compatibility with games and accessories, which is damn important. Older games are gonna be loaded faster and up-resed. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the that they're focusing on backwards compatibility is definitely crucial, you know, for older games and stuff.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That was kind of redundant.
Because a lot of people I know that have consoles have a huge library of old games that they want to play on their current systems. And, yeah, it's nice to be able to play, like, even just one generation back.
Mm-hmm.
If not, like, two or three generations back. Because you could kind of do it with, I think it was the DS. You could play old GBA games. I'm not sure with the older GB games, though.
Mm. Yeah.
And, yeah, most Nintendo home consoles could do it up until the Switch. They actually it was only just the Wii could play GameCube, and the Wii U played the Wii games, which is convenient.
And then they for GameCube, they also had that Game Boy Advance adapter.
Yeah, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
A couple of big games are coming out for Xbox is Forza Motorsport 7, October 3rd, Metro Exodus 2018, another Assassin's Creed Origins.
Mm.
I don't have a release date for it yet, but it's set in Egypt, which is interesting. State of Decay 2, which is a zombie survival game. You try to stay alive with collecting needed supplies and build up a home base. It's Spring 2018. It's for Xbox One and PC. The Darwin Project. It's a battle royale with different classes like archers, warriors, and the like. Yeah, and Minecraft will be able to crossplay with PC and consoles. Community servers can be accessed through the Xbox version. 4K update this fall, which is called the Super Duper Graphics Pack. New Dragon Ball FighterZ Z. It's kind of like Marvel vs. Capcom style of fighting, I guess. Black Desert, another MMO RPG. Code Vein, which is if you've played any of the Tales games, it has that kind of a feel to it. Sea of Thieves, a cel shaded pirate game. Tacoma, it's wireframe characters in a space station of some sort. Let's see, I'll have to take a look at that. Super Lucky's Tale, which is a kind of like a whimsical Zelda game with Fox as the main character. And some side-scrolling elements to it as well. And let's see, Cuphead, which is a side-scrolling game with if you've seen like the old Mickey Mouse movies. It's like a side-scroll in those, like, worlds, which is a very interesting concept, in my opinion. Ashen. It's basically a survival game based on light, so you have to be careful when, like, it's, like, shadows in the dark. And, Middle Earth, Shadow of War. Basically, Recruit and Conquer game, and it plays on the storyline of the Shadow of Mordor. And that releases October 10th. And there's going to be original Xbox game compatibility coming to the Xbox One. Do you have any thoughts on those?
Which one was it? It was the one with the fox.
Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, Super Lucky's Tale. I'm going to look at that real quick, because that sounds a lot like this game I've played called Seasons After Fall. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's a very neat side-scrolling game where the main character you play as a fox, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's slated for November 7th. And it's actually a sequel to an older game called Lucky's Tale.
Oh.
Which is interesting. That came out actually about a year and a half ago in March 2016. Yeah, it's the description is follow Lucky on the official Xbox site. Follow Lucky, the ever optimistic, energetic, and lovable hero, on his quest to find his inner strength and help his sister rescue the Book of Ages from Jinx, who's scheming and mysterious villain, trying to reshape the world, but for what reason?
Looks
interesting, but I don't know if it's worth the $500 to invest in an Xbox for me for one game. Although if it comes out on PC, I might pick it up though. I guess we'll move on to Sony, which is a shorter list. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, which is the first Uncharted game without Nathan Drake as a lead character. Which is kind of interesting. Because we're all used to seeing Nathan Drake on the screen of your Sony console. Days Gone, which is an apocalyptic survival game with zombified animals on top of people. Just, like... And Monster Hunter World. Just a high-def Monster Hunter. Realistic Monster Hunter slated for early 2018 for both Xbox One, PS4, and sometime later for the PC. Which is great for any Japanese RPG fans. Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah. Shadow of the Colossus in 2018. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which is, I think, coming up pretty soon. Let's see. Yeah, in about less than a week, like midweek, next week, September 19th, which is, I think, early this coming week. Stereotypical fighting game that most people have played. Call of Duty World War II is out. Skyrim VR. Monsters of the Deep. Final Fantasy 15th in September. It's a new God of War game in a Nordic setting. Destiny 2, which I think is coming out next week. And a new Spider-Man game. Anything catch your eye in the Sony notes?
Skyrim VR, I think, would be pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of things are going in the VR direction now.
Hmm. Because Skyrim, as it is already very atmospheric and draws you in, I think just adding VR on the top of that would just be absolutely, like, astonishing to play.
Yeah, for sure. And we're gonna keep on rolling into a Nintendo. Let's see. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 in Christmas 2017. It's another really good JRPG. Kirby on the Switch in 2018. Pokken Tournament on the Switch in a week's time. There's a mainline Pokemon game in the works. Metroid Prime 4. No footage at all, but like, all you get is like the title screen and that's it. Fire Emblem Warriors in fall of 2017. Select Zelda items in Skyrim. Breath of the Wild. There's going to be two DLC packs. Trial of the Sword. Hero Mode in the Master Trials. Champion's Ballad in the second DLC pack. Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle August 29th, which is about two or three weeks back. Rocket League on the Switch got announced. Cross-network play, which includes basically all the consoles and PC, minus the PS4, because Sony doesn't like to play with others. Super Mario Odyssey, tons of new worlds. There's a new hat character in the game, which can possess minions. October 27th release date. And Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS, which is a surprise announcement, and it just got released yesterday. And then jump right into the direct, this week's Nintendo Direct as well, since it's a lot of the stuff is kind of rolled into that as well. Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, there's four new DLC stories, new areas, new avatars for your player. There's a Gold and Silver can be downloaded on the 3DS on September 22nd in a week. There's a Pokeball themed 2DS on November 23rd. Another Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga and Bowser's Minions, October 6th. There's going to be another Goomba and Koopa Troopa amiibos released for those. There's Kirby Battle Royale with battle arenas, single player and online battles. It's a January 19th release. Yo-Kai Watch 2 in about 2 weeks on September 29th. It's new Layton mystery, like a journey game on October 6th. Minecraft 3DS on the eShop. There's actually a pretty neat Mario Party Top 100 game, which combines the most popular 100 mini games into one cart for the 3DS. And that comes out November 10th. Metroid Samus Returns just came out yesterday. The Lion's Alive from Atlas, another RPG. Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey Redux is coming out early 2018. New 2DS XL, which is a white one with an orange trim around the edge, which is pretty nice, but I've already got quite a few 3DSs are kicking around. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is features like attack arts, like, and blade arts, which is a supports the main character. That releases December 1st, and there's a special edition including a music disc, a 220-page hardcover art book, and a metal game case. And there is a Xenoblade 2 Edition Pro Controller. And there's a couple new maps for Splatoon 2 coming out, I think, in the next... yesterday, actually. And a new weapon. And Lin's going to be in the new Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Warriors game. And that's available in a month on October 20th. And the special edition includes 3 music discs, a double-sided poster, and a character card set. And there's 2 new amiibos that'll come out for that. It's a Crom and Tiki. And there's a new version of Snipperclips, Snipperclips Plus for the Switch. And there's like 30 new puzzles, and that's available November 10th with... option is download as a DLC for any current Snipperclips owners, and Rocket League is available this holiday with custom battle kart modes, Mario, Luigi, and Samus karts. Skyrim is November 17th for the Switch. Doom is for the Switch is also this holiday. Wolfenstein 2. Sometime in 2018. There's going to be arcade archive games, and the first one that they announced is Mario Bros. For September 27th. And November 10th, there's going to be Breath of the Wild Zelda Champions amiibos coming out, a set of 4. NBA, WWE, and FIFA 18 in the next couple weeks. And there's an interesting RPG from Square Enix, Octopath Traveler, which is looks like an 8-bit game, but with like a modern textures to it. And they're calling it HD 2D graphics to it. There's turn-based battles, and a 2018 release. A couple other big games that got revealed or at least previewed. It's Resident Evil Revelations on November 28th, and it's a new Super Mario Odyssey bundle that includes red Joy-Cons, the game, and a digital copy of the game, and a red Super Mario Odyssey themed carrying case. So So, anything catch your eye for the Nintendo announcements in the past 3 months?
So I've been thinking about this a lot with Doom for the Switch. A lot of people that I've talked to say that, like, just like, how could the Switch, you know, is capable of running that? I mean, of course, there's, you know, like the textures are downgraded and stuff, but I think it's not that big of a, or like that heavy of a game to handle.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Just with like the OpenGL backend and stuff, and I think it would run smooth on, you know, mid-grade hardware. But I mean, yeah, the Switch is pretty powerful for handheld,
it's really powerful, but for a home console, it's slightly underpowered.
Yeah.
That's a predicament, because you gotta think about the battery life. Because if you have an home console on the go with a screen, how are you gonna power everything? It's gonna last like 30 minutes and then it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to Rocket League on a Switch, which is gonna be pretty damn fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm interested in seeing what they come out for Metroid Prime 4. There's like no footage of anything at all besides like, oh, game title, that's it.
Yeah.
Which is nice because it's been close to 10 years since we've had an actual game, like mainline Metroid game, I think.
Yeah.
Let's see when the Prime 3 came out. Corruption came out in, I think, 2007, so exactly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And that came out for the Wii.
Hmm.
I think the last one after that was the 2.5D one. Let's see. The Other M, which wasn't well received. I mean, the game itself was alright, but the controls were a bit iffy for me, at least. Let's see. Mario Party Top 100 looks pretty interesting to do. Yeah. There's a download play, so you don't only need one card among the three friends and you that are playing. But you know Nintendo, party games are pretty destructive among friend groups. Especially if you get Mario Kart, Super Smash. It gets so damn competitive.
Yeah, it does. And that's another thing too. Like some of those mini games where you have to like circle the joystick around. I mean, I'm sure like a lot of people have just used the palm of their hands, and like hopefully the Switch can like hold up to N64's legacy with that. You know,
the joystick on the N64. The way that people have played on it, I've heard people getting like blisters from that joystick.
Yeah, I definitely have. When I was younger, I used to go to school with blisters, and my teachers would ask me what happened, and I just said, "Oh, I'm playing Nintendo 64."
Just play another Mario day at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember playing like in high school. Just like go to someone's house, play hours on hours of like Double Dash and Smash. Like those are like the two games we would always go to.
Yeah.
And my high school is like there's this hallway leading like from the main hall, and it's like a side hall that goes to a gym, and there's like lockers down there. Like all of the if you don't know what Victory Lap is, like some of us like stay back a year after grade 12 to take a figure stuff out. Pretty much every period, doesn't matter what period it is, there's someone there playing like DS, and we just call it the DS hallway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and like we'd be playing like Tetris, like 10-person Tetris, like Mario Kart, like everything. And one of the people I knew that used to play on in that hallway actually dodges blue shells in Mario Kart DS without any items. Like, just drift boost out of blue shells. Just damn impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else catches my eye here.
Octopath Traveler actually looks pretty interesting for me, at least. It's Square Enix games, which I've actually... Not too many Square games I've actually liked in the past, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And this is one of the few that has actually caught my eye from Square Enix. And those only come by, like, maybe once every, like, 3 years for me, for that publisher. Because previous to that, the two other games I've actually liked from Square Enix in the past, I don't know, 15 years, is The World Ends With You and Bravely Default. Which are both quality RPGs for handhelds. And let's see, anything else that's interesting?
There was a where did I read that at? It was let me see here. I'm not too entirely sure. I think it was mentioned something about Legend of Zelda items in Skyrim.
Yes. Or at least in the Switch version.
Yeah. I don't know, there's just this thought that just is really funny to me, like Dovahkiin walking around with a Master Sword or something.
Yeah. here it is. There's a trailer. Yep, following trailer here. Just waiting for it to actually play. Damn ads. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a Master Sword on the blue tunic that Link has.
Oh, yeah.
It's convenient. It's, you can play on the go as well as, like, playing at home. Which is really nice. Because, like, most of the time, like, a lot of the time, like, I'm on the go and I want to play something. And I can't, because it's, like, it's stuck at home. On a home console. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the bulk of the podcast. Any games you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
I'm not particularly sure. I haven't really been keeping up to date with a lot of new games. The news with like Doom coming to Switch, I think that's pretty cool. So if I ever like invest in a Switch, which I will one day, yeah. I think that's cool to know that, you know, there's Doom on there. I mean, I have it for PC as well, but you know, if you're in the living room or something and you're just like, man, I'm feeling Doom, but I don't want to get off the couch, you know, like I'm done watching Rick and Morty, like just switch to, you know, like switch and then switch to the Switch.
Switch it over.
Yeah, and just play Doom. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and it's like, if somebody needs a TV, just pull it out and you can play.
And yeah, on the go.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like, I've brought out the Switch to like parties before, and it's like, I'm literally living a Nintendo Switch commercial right now. Because if you remember the reveal trailer, if you've seen the reveal trailer for the Switch, they're like, bring it out to like random places like a patio party or
like a basketball court.
Yeah. It's like, you're living the commercial, man. You're living the commercial. Which is pretty nice, because like, it brings people together, and there's lots of great games like already out, like Splatoon and Mario Kart, and puzzle games like Snipper Clips, and that bring people together. Fun, easy to pick up, and you can play for hours. And the next big game that I'm waiting for them to announce is Super Smash Bros. For the Switch. Which would be amazing on the go. Yeah. Although the screen is a little cramped for four-player matches, which I've done on Mario Kart on the go with four people. Even with three people, it's cramped. To get a quarter of like a 6.2 inch screen, it's not much.
Yeah.
But it gets the job done when you've got like a couple people crowded around the screen, and it's a more intimate gaming experience, you could say.
Yeah.
And hopefully Nintendo stays in business, because they do an amazing job with party games.
Oh yeah, like that's for sure.
Yeah, Mario Party, Mario Kart, Smash, like stuff with like Wii Sports. Like nobody else, like first party wise for the other consoles, comes close to Nintendo's like first party like library for party games with their history.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I find like a lot of the third-party publishers, they push out games that are great concepts, but they're half-baked in their production. It's like, oh, we'll patch it when release date comes, or like a month in. Like, I'd rather wait an extra 3 months for a game to come out properly, instead of like, oh, it's broken, I can't play it properly.
Yeah.
Because I think Shigeru Miyamoto said something along the lines of this. It's like, a bad game released, if you release a game that's bad, it's gonna be bad forever. But if you delay a game and make it good, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's like, I'd rather see a finished game, like, delay it for an extra, like, 3-6 months. I'm fine with that. I wanna see, like, a final finished product on day one of launch, or pretty damn close to it.
Yeah,
because like, I'm not sure if you've noticed with like a lot of the games, like first day out 5 gig patch, it's like, what the crap, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my thought on like, finish your game before it's supposed to release.
Yeah. I remember Street Fighter V. I'm not sure if it affected. I'm pretty sure it affected all like consoles or like platforms. But there was like I think like a 5 or 8 gigabyte patch that that toned down Ibuki a little bit, and then there was another character. I think Rainbow Mika, that she was too revealing, or no, it was a different character, I think, and just those two things, and it was like, wow, like, I would rather them, you know, like, spend the extra time delaying that, you know, like, before launch, than actually, like, oh, you know, let's try to fix it later, kind of thing. But I don't know, like, I there's also things like, you know, like, response from the community, like, oh, this is too much, you know. And, you know, like, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling.
Yeah, if it's, like, the community giving you feedback to, like, tweak something, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, if your game's, like, half broken, to start off with. Like, come on. Yeah. Do a better job.
With the exception of Bethesda games, because they're always so buggy.
Well, it's still... it's not an excuse.
That's true.
Like, we're paying, like, nowadays, $70, $80, $90 for a AAA title. I expect it to work, even if it's not perfectly, but, like, 95 to 99% of the bugs are not there. Like, 99% of the bugs are gone. Like...
yeah.
Like, I don't expect it... I expect there to be, like, the odd bug or two, but, like, to a certain point, like, I'm paying good money for entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wish that publishers and devs would take a little bit more pride in their work in finishing, actually polishing off their games. And if you remember the first run of Xbox 360s back in the mid-2000s, like, I can't remember, it's like one in five or one in ten or something like that. Like, brand new, the first run were like bricks. Like, what the crap, Microsoft? they wanted to be like first ones out the door before Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah. It's the whole tortoise and the hare thing.
Yeah. The thing with the Nintendo that kind of bugs me is that with their home consoles, it's like one cycle they have lightning in a bottle, and the next cycle is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like they have one good cycle and a bad cycle, good cycle, bad cycle. I'd rather, like, I know it's hard to come up with, like, good hardware. But I'd like it to be a little bit more consistent in, like, how they execute as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think, concludes the podcast, unless you've got other stuff you want to talk about.
Nope. I think that's it.
Any major movies you've watched over the past, like, couple months or looking forward to?
Not really, not particularly. I'm not a big movie guy, I suppose.
Fair enough.
Do you mean specifically, like, newer movies that were recently released, or just kind of any movies?
Any movies in the last, like, year or so that you've really enjoyed.
So I actually watched My Neighbor Totoro for the first time, and I love that film so much. Everyone was like, oh, you gotta watch it, and never watched it before. And I just kept on putting it off, and then I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to watch it. So I watched it, and I really like it.
Yeah, Studio Ghibli, right? If I remember correctly. Yeah, they're, like, literally one of the last studios that does, like, that style of, like, animated movies. Which is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. It's a dying art form.
Yeah. And there's such, like, resonance with, like, childhood. You know, no matter how old you get and you watch these movies, it just always brings you back to childhood.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, I think that the storytelling definitely brings out, like, it's kind of like a relationship between the art style and, like, the storytelling that they do as well.
Yeah.
So, that should conclude our podcast for now. It's, And we'll see you next time, whenever next time is.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.